Thought Bubble Audio.
Hey guys, before we start today's show, just want to say a quick hello. This is Frank.
This is Tim.
Want to say a quick shout out to our first patron of the month over on patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. Thanks to Michelle C. She's not just a listener to Thought Bubble shows, but she's an awesome person by supporting us over on Patreon. She's also the host of her very own podcast.
Oh,
you can check out #TVGeek on iTunes to hear Michelle and her friends talk about their favorite shows. People who listen to Supergirl TV Talk or Beer with Geeks in particular might find episode one of her podcast especially interesting because they cover the Arrowverse and they gave Supergirl TV Talk a shout out in that episode.
Cool.
But there are other episodes about Game of Thrones, Gotham, a bunch of others. So check them out.
Oh, I love me some Gotham and some Game of Thrones.
And some
two things that you
ham.
Do. Yeah, yeah. Some two things that you. That's a dumb joke.
It. Well, yeah.
I've never liked that joke.
Well, I do. So.
Do I go up to you and be like Metropolis?
No, because that's not how. No. Because, like, Ropolis is not a word on its own, but ham is.
Oh, I see. It's still not funny.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just was trying to make it see the Game of Thrones got, and then Gotham, it has the got, and it all got. Never mind.
Okay.
Michelle and her friends talk about some awesome stuff. So whether you like Academy Rewind or Beer with Geeks or Supergirl TV Talk, there's something there for you. So check out #TVGeek. And thank you guys for checking out patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio. Thank you to Michelle, our patron of the month, for doing that. Because you make it possible for us to stay loud, live, and independent, as they say. And by backing us at any level from a dollar all the way up, you are making these shows possible. You are making new shows possible we have in the works. You're making bonus episodes and you're getting access to early content, early episodes before they come out to the rest of the world. So thank you to all of you guys for doing that. And now,
on with the show.
Look, up in the sky.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my simian friend Frank. How are you today?
I'm Harry.
You are Harry.
I am
actually.
I'm that Harry is, man. Except for on top of my head, ironically.
It all got dispersed to the rest of your body.
That's the running joke that I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, yeah. Would you really want like arm or chest hair on top of your head? It's a different caliber of hair.
It's a totally different type of hair. You know, for years I had an outdated driver's license, and whenever I have to, you know, whenever I got carded, I got ID'd. They would look at it and they'd see this picture of me when I was 16,
mm-hmm.
where I still had hair on my head and none on my face. And they would look at me, and they were like, the bouncer would like give me a weird look, like, really, I'm supposed to believe this is you? And I would nervously make the joke, the hair moved from the top of my head to down here. It migrated down to my beard. And every time my wife would elbow me and be like, it's not funny. It's not going to get funny. She was right. It didn't. So I just got a new ID.
Like
end
your
story.
Marriage.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Cool. That's my story about hair. What cool. are you drinking? What are we drinking?
All right. So
I haven't tried this yet.
Okay. So this is inaugural. So as you are aware.
Yes.
I went to Vermont for work. Recently, and while there, I went on a microbrewery tour.
Very fun, very fun.
And I purchased a growler of what is called Lil Devil from the Red Barn Brewery.
Okay, Lil Devil,
which is very micro, like
very micro,
Ant-Man sized micro.
Wow,
it's in a actual Red Barn from the 19th century.
Nice
that they have re-outfitted, and they served at the time 4 beers.
Wow.
And all theirs, and I purchased a growler. So it's an IPA.
Uh-huh.
Called the Lil Devil.
And Lil Devil IPA.
Up near St. Johnsbury, Vermont.
Okay.
If anybody finds their way up there. And so go ahead and give it a try.
All right.
Here he tries. He's trying.
Ooh. I like that.
Yeah, it's good,
it's
right?
It's very balanced, actually.
Very balanced.
It's not very hop forward. You definitely yep. taste the hops. But it's not like in your face punch you with the hops.
That's right. It's because the devil likes to play behind you. He doesn't like to punch you in the face.
That's right. He's a crafty one. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah,
it's very good.
I know. I was satisfied with my purchase. They had four other ones that I'm now struggling to remember the names of completely. But I the Little Devil was a nice balance because even though it's an IPA, and you said it's not overly hoppy.
Yeah,
it wasn't like the, you know, it wasn't a dark. It wasn't like the dark stout they had, or they had a really light ale that was I almost went with, but I thought this was kind of a nice compromise between each side. So here we are with Little Devil.
I really like this. Thank you very much for providing this. This is a delicious, delicious beer.
You are
that I am going to sip slowly so as I can enjoy it and savor it.
You're welcome. There's a tiny bit more left in the growler, okay. Feel free, if you do finish and you finish before me, feel free to have some, because I did the tour, I've had more than you.
Sure.
And so even though it's far past my system at this point, then you feel free to have some.
I will do that. Thank
because
you very much.
I'm a giving person, Frank.
You are. You're a very giving person.
Yeah. Some would say I'm so giving,
yes,
that I should be the ruler of the ape community.
Well, I don't know if I would say. I mean,
no.
How about ruler? I mean, come on, I'm not gonna like call you Caesar.
Okay, well, actually, I had a cat named Caesar. Fun fact.
Did you really?
Fun fact. It had nothing to do with Planet of the Apes, which I want to talk to you about today.
Oh, is that what we're here for?
We're here for Planet of the Apes, but I had a cat named Caesar. I had a cat named
very different thing.
Yeah, I had a cat named Caesar growing up, because I was a kid and we had just seen Jesus Christ Superstar. It was one of the first shows I'd ever seen, like, on stage performed. And there's a line in the show that goes, "We have no king but Caesar." And that, it was just stuck in my head. So when my mom was like, "What should we name?" I was like, "Caesar. We should name him. We need to name him Caesar."
And you were how old?
I was like 8 or 9. I had no idea who Caesar was.
Incredible.
Planet of the Apes or any of the real Caesars.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's how we got a cat named Caesar.
Mm. Pizza.
Pizza. the worst.
Monkey.
Little Devil, Little Caesar.
Oh man.
Stop monkeying around. This is serious business.
No more monkey business.
This is simian business. Yeah. So Frank, have you ever seen any of the Planet of the Apes movies? I've never actually really talked to you about this.
I have seen exactly zero of the Planet of the
Apes. None of them.
Movies,
the reboots
ever.
Or the originals.
Not the originals. No. Nothing.
My tact is so wrong. I was just going to talk to you about the new ones, but I feel like now I got to talk to you about the originals too.
Well,
oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, give me, you know what? I really think it's, I want to be educated on this, you know?
So what you're saying is I need to hit you with my best shot.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. Yes.
Great. Okay. So, I sound just like the recording, don't I?
It's uncanny. I feel like we don't have to drop it in.
No, it's great. So, you guys, the instrument, you guys can go away. You have 5 minutes. You have a 5 minute break. So, it's really crowded in here with them.
Totally.
Okay. So, Planet of the Apes. What a tale I shall weave.
POTA.
POTA, indeed. Not POTUS.
No,
don't be confused.
No, POTA.
I will talk about just that, maybe the new ones, because
sure,
because the original films are real good fun. The cartoon, the television show, there's like the Tim Burton reboot, there's so much to go into. Maybe I feel like I'll just talk about these reboot ones.
That seems fair.
But I'll caveat with you really should at least just see the first one with Charlton Heston, because it's an American movie classic.
Yeah.
I guess really no more for that. I mean, like, you're a big fan of sci-fi, and this is Planet of the Apes is almost as sci-fi as you can get.
Yeah.
It's time travel and, you know, weird evolution and, you know, all this different, you know, lost civilizations, and it's pretty sci-fi.
It's pretty textbook sci-fi.
Yeah. So these new movies, Rise, Dawn, and War, are kind of a reboot and kind of not. Okay. Do you know anything about them?
No.
Okay, you don't know anything. Okay, so
I know there's a ape Is it Caesar?
Yeah, something you are correct. Caesar.
That's all I know.
In the original Planet of the Apes mythology, mm-hmm. Caesar is like the great ape.
Okay.
The one that he's the Moses of the story.
Which is funny because Charlton Heston, anyway.
It is funny, and I got to talk to you about, I got to talk to you about it. And I'm going to try to do it without spoiling anything.
Okay.
But if you don't get the Moses metaphor by the end of War of the Planet of the Apes, like
by the end of war,
by the end of war,
the most recent one.
Yeah. If you don't get that he's Moses, then I can't help you. and I'll leave it at that. So there's going to be there's going to be spoilers for Rise and Dawn,
okay.
But I want to try my best to not spoil War since it's the newest one.
Sure.
But it's a trilogy, and it's a complete arc, and it follows this ape named Caesar, so the idea is that it's telling the story of how Planet of the Apes began. So the original Planet of the Apes film, which was originally a French book, and it's like this astronaut is out in space, and they come back, and they think they're on a different planet. And they're not really sure, and there's apes everywhere, and everyone knows the ending with the Statue of Liberty. It's like, oh my God, it was Earth all along.
Yes.
The Simpsons did a great parody of it.
Yep.
With Troy McClure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you ever actually seen that?
I've seen that. Yeah.
It was so good. Ooh, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss. But anyway, it's Rise, Dawn, and War, which people can get confused about.
Yeah,
which one starts? But
because Rise or Dawn both sound like they could be the first,
they do. But War of the Planet of the Apes starts with this. It starts with not a title scroll like Star Wars, but like just like text on a screen, like text to catch you up.
Okay.
On the screen, and the Rise, Dawn, and War are done in order, and they're big and bold, and they're different from the rest of the text. So you like know that like this is the order they go in.
Oh, I see.
And it explains it in a way that Rise and Dawn make sense. So Rise is the story of Caesar starting this intelligent ape community. And Dawn tells the dawn of their civilization as a civilization.
Okay.
So there's no civilization in Rise. They're rising to become a civilization where Dawn is the beginning of their civilization.
Okay.
So it makes sense, and I'm glad somebody took the time to think about it because it can be confusing. So Rise is actually a real fast movie. It's 90 minutes.
That's really fast.
And basically James Franco's character is a scientist working for this big company, and they're testing a drug to cure Alzheimer's on apes.
Okay.
There's this ape called Bright Eyes, and they call it that because the drug when given to them gives them like bright green eyes. The drug worked on Bright Eyes and none of the other ones, but he's so happy that they decide to present it to the board. And when they're trying to bring Bright Eyes up to the board, she freaks out and runs amok all through the lab. And one of the guards shoots and kills her. And it's discovered that she's not freaking out because of the drug. It's that she had a baby in the lab and she thought they were trying to take her baby.
Oh.
So she properly freaked out. And so the board and the director ordered that all the apes get exterminated. They're dangerous, blah, blah, blah. Experiments done. So James Franco takes the ape home, and that ape is Caesar.
The baby.
Yeah.
Got it.
But because Bright Eyes had been injected with the drug, you know, now like you're watching Caesar's brain development.
Right.
So you find out pretty early in the film that James Franco's father, John Lithgow, has Alzheimer's. And so he's kind of doing this for his father. And you can kind of understand like why he wants to get, because his dad's getting bad. And man, does John Lithgow do Alzheimer's well.
Really?
Like really, really well. It's very sad. Mm-hmm. So the story is basically, it's kind of simple, and it's just about watching Caesar's brain development and how he's getting older and how they have to react to that. And he's getting smarter and smarter and smarter. He doesn't speak, but James Franco's character teaches him to sign, people do with chimpanzees and
Coco.
Right, exactly. And so, but he's like really smart. Okay. Like they bring him to, like he asks what happened to his mom, and like they go and they have to like, you were an experiment, and he has to react to that, and what does he do?
And this is all in sign language.
All in sign language. Okay. And so the movie progresses until he, without spoiling much of anything, like he has to go into this like chimp reserve, basically this ape reserve, where he's not treated well. Draco Malfoy doesn't treat him well at all. He's in this movie.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. What's his name? Tom Felton. He's got the "get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape" line.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Caesar in that moment like screams no, which is the first time any ape has ever spoken. And it was really powerful. It was really well done. And he basically steals the drug and makes all the other chimps around them smart. One of them it's not an orangutan. It's another kind of, it's got like a big round face. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And that ape, Maurice, is in all three films. Like, so you're kind of like watching like best friends, like track their progression. And so it all takes place in San Francisco, and the film ends with all the apes basically running amok through San Francisco and escaping into the Redwoods.
Okay.
And so, but at the end of the film, we learn that this, during the course of the film, so when humans are exposed to this drug, it kind of brings on like this like flu type symptoms, and it kills people pretty quickly. It's not the flu, so it's not treatable.
Got it.
And the end of the film's credits shows the plague, what's dubbed the simian flu, spreading. So, which brings that, like, this is how humanity gets wiped out, and this is how the apes rise.
Because the
film wasn't meant to be it wasn't meant to be the start of a trilogy. They thought it'd be a one and done thing, but it did really well. This new arc of Planet of the Apes movies is one of the most successful franchises in film history, but nobody's talking about them.
Really?
Yeah.
Successful, like, in terms of box office?
Box office. They do really well. Not like Marvel or Star Wars well.
Okay.
But in terms of franchise and how much they make, they're over $1 billion.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But and like,
wow,
people like flock to them and people watch them, but nobody, like, for whatever reason, nobody seems to talk about them. Like, it seems like for whatever reason, there seems to be like, you can love Iron Man, but you can't love Planet of the Apes. Even though clearly everyone does, because they are making bank.
That's so interesting that they are that financially successful. I mean, I figured that they were.
Yep.
We're talking domestic or worldwide?
Both.
Huh.
I mean, War beat out Spider-Man in its second weekend. You would, a Marvel movie.
It beat out,
like, it took the top spot.
Wow.
So Spider-Man came out one week and Apes was the next week.
And it
surpassed
it over.
Never happens with a Marvel film.
No, they always get at least two, three weeks.
And it knocked it right out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it dropped like 61% or something like that.
And really, not that many people are talking about it.
Nope.
But
people go.
Until you told me you'd seen War, mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if it was coming out like, oh, and it's coming out like next week or something. Like, I didn't realize it was already out for a weekend.
They are, the stories are great, and they're beautifully shot. The first one is, who directed the first one? Rupert something. It's the guy who was going to do Gambit, I think, at one point.
Okay.
And Matt Reeves directed 2 and 3, the guy who's doing
The Batman, yeah.
Coming up. And without having seen War, when I knew that he was going to do, having just seen Dawn, I was like, I can't wait. Because Dawn is one of the smartest, gutsiest summer action films blockbuster films that you could see. It opens, the first maybe 10 minutes of the film is subtitles. Apes speaking to each other and hunting and whatever else. Summer blockbuster movie, and we're going to open with subtitles.
Wow.
Unheard of. Like, so.
Wow.
And there's a human element. So the second story is that the apes basically live in the Redwood Preserve. I want to say like 10 years have gone by, something like that. Caesar's in charge. And the apes live on their own. They hunt. They have a community. They have like a home and everything. And the humans are down there in San Francisco trying to survive because the plague has wiped out bunch of humanity. And so you follow the human side. There, who played? Oh, what's his name? Who played John Carter in Terminator Genesis?
John Connor.
John, yeah. I said John Connor, right?
Jai Courtney?
No. That wasn't John. No. Yeah, no. John. Jai Courtney played the other guy.
He was Kyle Reese?
Yeah, Kyle Reese.
I'm blanking.
Oh, me too. He's a good actor, too. I can
I'm
use my.
Totally
I'm gonna use my. I'll use my one look.
Okay.
I'll do it. I'll take the hit on this one.
I'm like, I can't even like picture whose face it was, to be honest. And I saw that movie, and I enjoyed that movie too. Terminator Genesis.
Did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't love it, but I liked it.
It is what it is.
It was better than
Jason
Salvation.
Jason Clark. So you follow Jason. You follow Jason Clark. And the woman he's with, Carrie Russell, and they're kind of like adopted-ish son, Cody Smith McPhee, who played Nightcrawler in X-Men Apocalypse and a bunch of other stuff. And they're basically their group leader, Gary Oldman.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so the story of Dawn is Caesar basically saying, like, apes live here, humans live there, we do not talk. We don't do anything. And there's this other ape. His name's Koba, played by Toby Kebbell.
Okay.
Who played Dr. Doom in the new Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, yeah. Too bad.
Yeah. Good actor. Good actor. His best roles, can't see him, you know, because he's a real good actor. But so he's like, he was also in Rise, and he's like, he fully remembers how mistreated he was by humans. So he's this kind of like, it's kind of like Scar trying to undermine Mufasa. It's got a Lion King tone going to it. It's one of those. And so basically the humans come to Caesar to say, like, look, there's a dam close to where you're living. If we can get it started, then we can get electricity and we can kind of keep surviving, because if not, we die.
And is that dam called Dam Dirty Apes? Is that the name of the dam?
It is not, but I like where your head's at.
Okay.
I like where your head's at.
I feel like it should be, but that's fine.
And so it's all about Caesar trying, and some of the humans attempting to live peacefully, but the apes are not responsible for the flu. The flu is man-made.
Okay.
But it's dubbed the simian flu. So people just hate on the apes because they're different, because they're smart, because they're weird. And you call something, like, you call it the bird flu, you hate on birds, even though, you know, like, it's not or swine flu whatever. It's not the pig, you know, like, it's not the pig's fault. Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of like that.
I see.
Actually, I think Dawn came out around the time that the swine flu was huge. So I like, it would make, you know, it has that kind of over.
The
films comment on what's happening in society at the time. Like, the third one, there's a wall being built by the humans, and like, this is not hit you over the head with political stuff or newsworthy stuff, but it's prevalent. You can make the allusion or the metaphor pretty quickly.
Got it.
So the second one is about humans and apes trying to reconcile with each other. But Koba's got his own plans, and he basically wants war. He wants, you know, apes together strong.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Let's wipe them out, kind of deal.
All of them.
Yes, exactly. Let's. So it's even got like this, like, Charles Xavier Magneto thing going on. Like, we can live peacefully together, or we can just kill them all because we're better than them.
Right.
So, if you think of Koba as Magneto, like, he was treated poorly, like, he was experimented on, he's like all this stuff, and you think of Xavier as like the more privileged one, he's treated kindly by humans, whatever else.
Okay, so he's
Yeah.
He's the one that's more the favorite son.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so without spoiling what happens in that film, the war basically begins, which you can kind of figure out pretty quickly.
Okay, yeah.
And so the third film takes place another 10 years after that, and it's about the apes trying to figure out how to escape the humans, like to totally live separately. So there's like scouts coming back going, we found land across the desert. We can live there. Nobody's there. Let's go. And so it's all about their exodus.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about their exodus to this promised land.
Do they actually call it an exodus?
No, never once. No, but Michael Giacchino does have you know how he does puns for all of his titles.
The track titles, yes.
Yeah, so he's got an exodus pun in there. For the music.
Of course.
And so without spoiling anything in war, Caesar has a personal vendetta now against the humans. So it's about him like trusting the people to make it there on his own while he goes and deals with his personal vendetta.
This time it's personal.
Yeah. That's the story of the Planet of the Apes. So I spent a long time just telling you about the story, but I'm going to try to capture your imagination for two reasons. One,
okay.
If you couldn't tell by my exuberance, the story is great.
Yep.
Really interesting, captivating.
It sounds like they've done a really, really... I don't know what the original story, how good they were... And was there more than one film with Charlton Heston?
There's two with Charlton Heston, and then there's two or three other ones after that, plus the Mark Wahlberg one.
That are part of that original...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
continuity.
Yeah. And if you at least see the first one, they'll make some allusions to it, like one character's name is another character's name, and you're like, oh, that's like a setup thing.
Okay,
maybe,
so it's
or there's a plot point in War that I don't want to give away that really gives you a big setup to the first film.
Okay, so are the current films, they're still in the same, it's not a total reboot, is it like prequels to the originals?
They're basically prequels, but you could watch them on their own and still fully enjoy them without ever seeing the original.
Okay, but is the idea that at some point... At some point, theoretically, at some point, you could watch the current movies and you know, like, then go back to watching the old ones, and like the story would continue from there.
Absolutely, because
I thought it was a complete reboot, like new continuity, new story, new everything.
No. There is decades, if not hundreds of years, between War and the original Planet of the Apes.
Got it. So there's plenty of runway to make more
in. The Rise and Dawn, there are hints at the original story. They talk about, like, the spaceship that Charlton Heston is on, like, going to space. Like, it's on, like, I think it's in Rise. Like, they watch it go into space. Like, it's the first manned mission to Mars. And so they get trapped on their way back. They go through, like, this weird time warp thing that they don't know about.
Theory of relativity or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's kind of where we pick up the story in the original.
Okay.
So I think maybe they were supposed to kind of like, it was supposed to be a reboot, but these three films did such a great job at being able to weave everything together back towards that movie without you even really realizing it. It's not necessarily a reboot. It's really prequels. It does a better job at prequeling than Star Wars ever could have.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think many would argue that, yeah.
The emotional heft of apes is, these ape films, is what you kind of wanted all the Star Wars films to have.
To have.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's got that kind of, like, gravitas to it.
It sounds like, so, were the originals, would you say, were the originals campier or
campier?
They were campier.
Absolutely.
So is it one of those things where, like, you know, now we're taking like a grittier reboot of it, but like it works so well, like
it,
I wish it was this way the whole time type of thing?
Kind of. I mean, I like the kind of campy 60s, like, it takes itself seriously, but just with like a like in a way that all 60s movies kind of take themselves seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of a twinkle in their eye. But like the first film has like when they just so Charlton Heston like can't speak in the film. He gets like hit in the throat and like he can't speak, but none of the humans can speak.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so he's like, so when he says, "Get your paws off me, you damn dirty ape," that's the first time that he speaks in their presence, because the first time he's able to, and that's why they're like, whoa, because no other human can. They've, like, devolved into the state of, like, Neanderthalism.
Oh, they've devolved.
Sort of, yeah.
In their travels to...
And
whatever, like,
yeah, they've kind of gone backwards.
Oh.
And that's why the apes are more superior to the humans.
You are blowing my mind right now, because I had no idea about any of this.
Yeah, so role reversals. So they're looking at the apes going, oh, they keep them in zoos and like they watch
right.
Yeah, so the original film actually makes like pretty great statements about the nature of humanity and what it means to be human and like all that stuff, because like Charlton Heston like goes on trial. Like what for like whether he's intelligent or not, like we can consider this creature an intelligent being or not. It's pretty great.
So they've never seen a human before.
They've seen humans, but they've never seen one that can speak. Talk. And they're like, Dr. Zaius is like he's an abnormality. Like this doesn't happen. They're not smart. They can't do this. And there's like this is war of ideology between the science community and the religious community.
This is way more sci-fi and way more philosophical than I thought it was.
It's like, it's heady. People don't remember it that way, but it's like, it's actually like heady sci-fi. It's like what sci-fi is supposed to be.
Right.
It's philosophical. It's supposed, it's Star Trek.
Like, I was just going to say, philosophy. It sounds like Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek.
Yes, that's, it's 60, I want to say it's like 68, 69. So it's
that's
like, it's in that time of
that time.
Of like 2001 A Space Odyssey, Star Trek. It's in that space, space of like. A philosophical sci-fi.
Wow.
And so the other Apes movies don't have that the way the first one does, especially as they go on. And the Mark Wahlberg one, which I actually like, it's not great, but the makeup in it and the commitment of the actors to their roles is pretty unbelievable.
When was the Mark Wahlberg one made?
Early 2000s.
Is that the Tim Burton one also?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. It's kind of worth watching for Tim Roth and Michael Clark Duncan and
love Michael Clark Duncan,
Helena Bonham Carter, of course, Tim Burton movie, Paul Giamatti, like they're all
I love Paul Giamatti.
All apes, and they're all like McClure.
They're all the apes.
Yeah, they're yeah, and
what
they're the make one the makeup is outstanding, but they went through like rigorous. This is how you move like an ape kind of thing, much like the actors in these movie films do now. But it's all mocap now.
Right.
So, which is the other point I actually want to talk to you about. So, well, these three films are philosophical in a way that like the first film was.
Okay.
It presented differently, but it allows you to think about those questions.
It brings
the same
back
way.
That tone of.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Okay. It's not just summer blockbuster apes on horseback with guns. It's let's think about the implications of all of this at the same time.
Sure.
Especially 2 and 3. The first one, not so much. It like has it and it's present, but it kind of moves through the story quickly enough. But the special effects in these films are unbelievably good. The first one is good, and Caesar looks good, and the other apes. But sometimes it's like you can tell when it was made. You know, like it's but. By the time you get to 2, they're so good. The way that like Pixar like kind of like perfected fur in Monsters Inc.
Oh, okay.
is like elevated to a completely different level
oh.
in these films. But then War, like I couldn't stop looking at their eyes because they're so real. Like I couldn't actually tell if it's their real eyes or their CG.
Oh, wow.
Because the shape has changed depending on the animal. So, like, don't forget. So it can't just be the actor's real eyes. So there has to be some digital markup to it.
But it's so realistic.
It's so realistic. I couldn't figure out how, like, it was unbelievably good. Like, the effects, I mean, if the story was just so-so and the effects were great, the movie would still be great.
Mm-hmm.
But I rate all the movies that I see every week and whatever else. I gave War 5 stars.
Wow.
And I think the last movie I gave 5 stars to was... what's it called? It's the Boston Globe movie.
Spotlight.
I think that's the last movie I gave 5 stars to. And I see a movie every week.
You do? At least one every week.
Yeah.
Do you write those down anywhere? Like, do you have like a journal or something where you write them down?
It's Flixster, so they're stored in Flixster.
Okay, so you do like store them somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that's something, can you like publish that or like?
I can go through and like check to see.
But like if you wanted to give somebody a link to like your Flixster profile or something, can you do that?
I might. I've never tried, so with you.
That would be so cool. I would love to see that because like, and I feel like our listeners might like that too, if that's something you're comfortable with. Like, I feel like that would be super cool.
See a lot of movies, man.
You do see a lot of movies.
I saw The Big Sick today. It was great.
Oh, isn't it great?
It was great.
Oh, I could do a whole episode on that, man. I love that movie. I loved it.
It was awesome. I saw it just before I picked you up.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know how I feel about Kumail. Like,
you know how I feel about
Kumail. Yeah, I know.
We talked Kumail together. We met Kumail.
We did. We have a picture that proves it. Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Cool. Going back to apes.
Damn dirty apes.
I think
the dirty apes dam.
I know, right? Exactly, dirty apes dam.
The dam that holds back the
dirty apes.
Yeah. Going over.
I think you're a fan. I know you're a fan of heady science fiction.
I am,
and I think that, and I know you're a fan of good storytelling and good special effects. So I think these movies have all of that compiled into one. I saw it in 3D. I saw War in 3D.
Oh, yes. And you said you recommended in 3D, which you don't often do.
No, I don't. I hate 3D. But Matt Reeves shoots a film so beautifully that like it's one of those films that you kind of want to pause to look at the frames. Like, I got to stare at that for a little while and not just looking at the ape, like just like a mountain. And like, I have to just look at it. And 3D actually really helped with that.
There's a Twitter handle, maybe it's a YouTube as well, called Every Frame of Painting. That just shows like, it does analysis of like movies that are like that.
That's
like,
cool.
You could like this, like the scenery.
Is it a podcast or a YouTube?
It's definitely a Twitter. I think it's a YouTube as well. It's not a podcast.
Oh, okay.
It's a video thing. Every Frame of Painting, and they do that. They look at like movies that are like visually stunning like that.
I'm definitely going to check them out.
Yeah. I'll throw that in the show notes as well.
Thank you for my own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what we're doing. I don't know how we are on time.
I think we're good to wrap up, actually.
We're good to wrap up?
Yeah, okay. We're in a safe space to wrap
up. Okay. So I cannot express to you how much I think that you should watch these movies. No, because like when we did Hit Me With Your Best Shot, like going back all the way to the first one, like I think you should watch Lord of the Rings because they're technically, because I love them, but I know they're not your bag.
Yes.
Like, kind of like Alien.
Yes.
I know this is your bag, baby.
And you were right. Yeah. And you were right about Alien.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Alien. So. Yeah.
And I mean, I love Alien too, but this is, if I were you, I'd watch Rise, Dawn, and War. And then if you like them enough, then you can watch the original. One.
Yeah. So it's what's the order they came out in? Rise and then Dawn and then War?
Rise, yeah.
That's the order they came out.
The Rise of Caesar, the Dawn of all of the ape civilization, and the War.
So RDW.
Yeah, RDW.
I don't know what, I'm going to use the mnemonic, but I'll
just tell you if you
can. I mean, confused. I have Google, so.
Yeah. Rise is definitely the weakest of them.
Okay, like, but it's the shortest one, too.
It's also the shortest. Yeah. It's only an hour and a half. I actually rewatched them right before going to see War.
Nice.
And I put it on, I was like, an hour and a half? Like, because it's a lot of story in a very compact amount of time.
Okay.
But I couldn't believe it. And I think Dawn is just 2 hours, and I think War is is like 2 and 10 or something like that.
Okay.
So very doable.
Yeah, it sounds very doable. The 90 minutes and then 2 hours, that sounds pretty, that's the thing I care about. When I'm in the theater, I don't care how long the movie's going to be.
Right, exactly.
Because like, I've blocked off a few hours to do this. You
know? I see a movie starts at 7, I'm like 7 to 11 in the phone.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how
basically,
long.
Like, I might as well be, right? Because like, I'm not going home till late.
Right.
But when it's at home, that's when I care about how long it is. Because that's when it's like, I'm making time. you know, to watch this movie in the middle of doing other things.
But you could do an hour and a half.
I can do an hour and a half. I can even do 2 hours. So.
Right.
It's when, you know, when we're talking about 3 and 4 hour extended editions of movies.
Right. No, I don't. I can't fault you for that. But honestly, if I had to choose between, like, you need to watch this or you need to watch, like, if you need to watch Lord of the Rings, or you need to watch Planet of the Apes, I'm going to say Planet of the Apes because I know you're going to enjoy it as opposed to it being a task that you have
to
accomplish.
Sure.
To maintain the friendship.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been very, very enlightening, and I feel very, I'm very, very motivated right now to watch these films. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. So you can find us on Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, and website at Beer with Geeks.
That's right.
You can rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play and all the other places that podcasts can be found.
Anywhere you can find a podcast, you'll find Beer with Geeks.
Speaking of podcasts you can find, there are plenty, 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 plenty of other podcasts under the Thought Bubble Audio banner that you are more than welcome to check out. You can check out The Marketers Next Door, where Frank and Marissa talk about social media and all of its wonderments.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Frank and I on Supergirl TV Talk, in which we talk about CW's hit show Supergirl, if that is your bag, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can find me and Palmer on Academy Rewind, which we are re-examining Best Picture Oscar nominees from years past.
And you can find all those shows at thoughtbubbleaudio.com.
Yes, indeed.
All in one place.
All in one place. It's magical.
Magical.
Indeed. So I say until next time, cheers.